Hello and welcome to Florida Basketball Hour. I am Neil Blackman, Saturday Down South. On this episode, I'm going to bring you guys a little bit of some SEC power rankings for the final time before we head to Nashville next week for the SEC tournament. I will not be in Nashville this year, so I'm still going to do my daily feeds and all of that, but oldest daughter has a very early spring break, which eliminates my Nashville plans. That's okay. Still will do my daily whip around at Saturday Down South and may get up there for the final. We'll see. It depends, but very unlikely. Anyway, that doesn't mean we stop working. It just means that the normal plans of my normal, hey, go eat here tonight, you know, live videos from Nashville hotel rooms will have to halt for the first time in a couple years. All right. And last year, my buddy John Levy and I watched the final together. So, you know, wasn't like this isn't anything new, missing the weekend. And largely it's always related to kids' spring breaks. Fatherhood, it's awesome. No, seriously, it's my favorite thing. Okay. Also going to do my SEC awards ballot, my Saturday Down South piece, 10 things I'm overreacting to in SEC basketball will run later today, I think this morning. And I'm going to kind of – that explains, like, where I'm at ballot-wise, but still wanted to make sure that, like, I ran through that on a pod. And then next week we should get Fawcett back for a big show too. That could be after or on Selection Sunday. And then I have a couple guests planned next week for the pod generally. So looking forward to getting into that with you. Should we do some power rankings? Let's do them. Leave your comments in the box, and we could talk about whatever you guys want to talk about too. Game Time Sidekicks is always our sponsor for our power rankings. They make nice things like this. You know, you got to honor. I always honor my Tar Heels too. So this is a really nice UNC one as they get ready for a rematch with Duke this weekend at Cameron Indoor. Happy Friday to everybody. And go over to Game Time Sidekicks. Those guys are awesome. All that stuff is just like a Yeti. I really think the quality is exceptional. You can run them in the wash too, which is super nice. Some of these, like, Final Four ones that they sold last year, you couldn't, and that was annoying because, like, the Final Four logo has worn off on a couple. Anyway, you never have any quality issues at Game Time Sidekicks. Go over there. If you add the skinny can to your cart, you will get a discount on any order over $50 too. So your first order comes with a discount. We appreciate those guys sponsoring our show. Now, power rankings. The Gators are going to be at the top. We always start at the top because nobody wants to hear about number 16 at the top of power rankings. Florida's 24-6. They are 15-2 in the SEC. They're going to win the SEC by at least three games. One thing that kind of is staggering about Florida right now, and, like, this applies to Duke too, I think, in even grander fashion, but Florida is at a 35.3 in the net. So that's actually higher than the Gators were at this point in time last year when they were at about a 33.5 at this point. And, you know, Florida had just also did the second to last Saturday, the regular season, hosted game day, just like this year. The only difference is Florida finished the season at home against Ole Miss in the regular season. So they had a Saturday home game senior day. This year, Florida on the road. Their senior day was Tuesday in the route of Miss State. But otherwise, kind of similar. So here's the thing that's pretty amazing. Last year, Florida was second in KenPom among SEC teams heading into the SEC tournament. Auburn obviously was first as the best team in college basketball in the regular season, even better than Duke, who was awesome. This year, Florida's at 35-3. The second best SEC team is at 26-5. That's Tennessee. So Florida has nine 8.8 net points higher than the second best SEC team. So Florida, you know, is just leagues better than the rest of the league. I think the Gators have the best two front court players in the league in Ruben Chinyelu and Alex Condon. If you consider Tommy Houck, who's played the three all year, a front court player, then Florida has the best three front court players in the league. But I think what's really interesting and why Florida's sort of situation is a little distinct and maybe the ceiling for this team is higher is that, like, we're not talking about this backcourt as being one of the best in college basketball, and they never had to be. They didn't have to be the generational backcourt that Florida had last year for Florida to compete to go back to the Final Four. I said that back on Max Barr's show and Blake Lovell's show before the season, said it on SEC radio. Like, the story of this backcourt was to be a competent group that did not turn the ball over and functioned as a complement to this front court. They've done more than that, in my opinion. Like, Erwan Klavsar might be the SEC Sixth Player of the Year. We did not vote for him. Fawcett and I did this ballot together. We'll get to it. But, like, what backcourt in the SEC are you taking over Florida's right now? Like, if you were just plugging and playing, like Arkansas, sure. Would you take Tennessee just because they have Jacoby Gillespie? I wouldn't, because the second best guard Tennessee has is Bishop Boswell, who isn't as good as anyone that plays on Florida's roster, right? Georgia? Like, you could make that argument. Jeremiah Wilkinson, Smurf Millender, who was our sixth man of the year vote. Blue Kane, one of my favorite players in the league. Like, you could argue that, I think. But so, like, let's say it's Arkansas, Georgia, and Alabama. Like, who after? Like, are you taking Vanderbilt because it's Tyler Tanner, Duke Miles, Frankie Collins has a lot? Like, you could make that argument, right? But, you know, I don't know if I agree with that argument anymore. Now, Fawcett might disagree with me because Duke Miles has been better than kind of anyone expected. But even if you take Vanderbilt slightly, Florida has a top five backcourt in the SEC. That's how good Boogie Flan's been the second half of the season, managing the offense, playing great defense, getting into the paint, finishing better through contact. The numbers are about 10 points higher than they were last year on his rim twos. Xavien Lee has been really, really damn consistent. In the second half of the league, you kind of know what you're going to get from him. I sometimes wonder why he doesn't take some open shots, but I also understand that, like, Florida wants to play inside when they can, and so sometimes him not taking a wide open three because it leads to a good rim two makes some sense for Florida in the half court. And then Klavsar has been sensational. You know, I mean, what else is there to say about that? And then they found an eighth man in Zay Brown. Like, it's a top five backcourt. So Florida has the best front court by a mile, probably the three best front court players. They have a top five backcourt. And, like, the net ratings and Torvik and the distinction between Florida and, like, the second best team in the league, which in KenPom is Tennessee. Who is it in Torvik right now? It's also Tennessee. You know, in the standings, it's Alabama or Arkansas, but, like, we saw Florida play those teams. So that's kind of where, you know, obviously Florida's going to be number one. Now, you might say, hey, who do you think is number two? That's why we do power rankings. I still think it's Alabama. I think the reason that I like Bama more than Arkansas is the fact that Aiden Sherrell is arguably an all-league big. Like, he was very close to being on our – Fawcett and I picked two SEC teams, and he was very close to being all-SEC with us. And in fact, was a guy I had second-team all-SEC, and then Fawcett and I kind of went back and forth and scrubbed our list, and Sherrell came off. But, like, Aiden's been excellent in Alabama's streak to win eight of their last nine since getting absolutely dog walked in Gainesville. And that's been the rising tide that lifts all boats. So Amari Allen has now become a consistent starter for them, wasn't eligible for the sixth man of the year award, and, like, actually has seemed to hit a freshman wall. Only had two points against Tennessee, only had 3 points against Georgia, hasn't been playing very well. But Aiden Sherrill has been just a monster from a consistency standpoint. Like, didn't play great against Tennessee from a scoring standpoint, but was great on the glass and had four blocks in that win. And has given them some post-defense. Like, has risen his draft stock through the defense he's played. Because the deal with the deal with Alabama is, like, you know what you're getting from those guards, right? Like, LeBaron Filon is pretty clear of everyone in the league except for Akuff, Hauk, and Condon in terms of being, like, one of the best players in the league. And then, you know, Aiden Holloway has been just a classic Nate Oates development story. And Latrell Reitzel, healthy, has his games. Hasn't gone off against Florida yet, which could concern you if you're a Florida fan waiting to play Alabama again in the SEC tournament, but he can go off. They just have so much talent in that backcourt. And that's why they're like a team that could go to the Elite Eight. And it would, like, I wouldn't blink my eye at all the way that Aiden Sherrill is playing inside. He has given them something to trust under the basket. Now, he's all they got. So if you can wear him out, great. But really, one is enough with those guards for them to get to the second weekend. And then if you get to the second weekend, what if Fawcett and I said for 8 years on this show, like, anything can happen at that point. Third is Arkansas for us. We do have them ahead of Tennessee. Darius Acuff Jr., very likely to win SEC Player of the Year, did not receive our vote. You guys saw on Twitter probably our discussion of that and why Thomas Hauk was our pick for SEC Player of the Year. It was our pick. It was not my pick alone. Fawcett was in on it with me. I think defense matters. Eric thinks defense matters. The defensive win share numbers for Tommy are 2.5 points higher. I had a good question by Gotham Gator about what a win share is, because it's like an advanced metric. And I feel like that is worth talking about here. So, like, it's a Bill James stat, obviously the famous statistician in baseball, and they made this a basketball stat, incorporated into that, and essentially the way that it works is they take an estimate of a player's points allowed per 100 defensive possessions, and that's your marginal defensive rating. Okay. And then for a win share, they look at what the average defensive rating for a player is. Okay. And they take the player's marginal defensive rating and something called marginal points per win, which marginal points per win reduces, it's adjusted for pace and tempo, and it reduces your, like, marginal rating a little bit. And then they calculate essentially how many wins an individual's defensive performance compared to an average defensive rating creates in a season. So, like, if you have a 3.1, that means that your defense alone makes your team 3 wins better. Anyway, Acuff and Hauk are at 5.1 win shares each. And that's by far and away the best in the SEC. Alex Condon is third at 4.5. He still leads the SEC in defensive win shares by 0.1 over Chinyelu. For those kind of curious, is where Condo is on that. But yeah, Arkansas is a strong three for me. I love the bounce back against Texas. I think when they get good, Trayvon Brazil, they have three really elite players, right? Like, Billy Richmond has played great. We saw him play great against Florida. And then Brazil is the guy you can trust. I still think they're super matchup intense as it relates to, like, the NCAA tournament. Because, you know, Malik Ewan, I'm not sure if it, like, Cal has used him right. Like, I don't think he's a guy you want outside to kind of attack closeouts or play through high. Like, I still think he's just a smaller, low block player with good footwork who can score at the basket. Like, I would post him more like Florida State did. And I'm surprised they haven't done that. And Nick Pringle, like, is a body who seems to be overwhelmed against skilled bigs. And I think Kentucky has to score in transition. Or Kentucky, well, they have to score in transition too. But Arkansas really needs to score in transition. And when you shut that water off, if you play a team that doesn't turn the ball over, like, I think there's definitely a chance that Arkansas has trouble in the NCAA tournament. We'll get to that in brackets. They're still third in my SEC power rankings. The big shift for us is in the middle here. Honestly, we have now moved Tennessee to four ahead of Vanderbilt, who's been top four all year. They'll play Saturday in Knoxville. And obviously the Vols won the first game 2 weekends ago in Nashville. We don't know what the status of Nate Amen is yet. Obviously a DNP against South Carolina. I hope that he is healthy. We want all these great freshmen to play in March. Kobe Gillespie's had a monstrous season. He is a top five player in Evan Mia. The top player in the SEC in Evan Mia, a top five player in the SEC in KenPom. Torvik's player rankings, as you guys know, if you've listened to me or not, I think is effective as like his overall team metrics, largely because he doesn't really have defensive calculations in them. But Gillespie is not in the top five in that. But still, like, one of the best players in the league, was easily on our second team All-SEC group. Special player, special season for him. Cool that he went home. The Vols are fourth. They're the second best defense in the SEC. I think that travels. They really punish you on the offensive glass. I think they're a team that can get to the second weekend. Fifth for us is Vanderbilt. And again, like, this was close. I trust Vanderbilt more than I trust the teams that are behind them. Like, I trust that backcourt, Tanner Miles. I'd love for them to have more Frankie Collins, but I trust that group more than I trust Georgia and their sort of inconsistency in the half-court offense. I trust that more than I trust Kentucky and their extreme volatility in the half-court offense, and how run-prone Kentucky is. I trust them more than Texas. I trust them more than Missouri. Slightly. So I have Vanderbilt at five. Great season for Mark Byington, 23 wins. Super impressed with the way they play and how things have gone in Nashville, even with the 10-7 kind of, you know, situation where they're 7-7 since the 16-0 start. I still trust that program at least to get to the second round. We'll see after that. For me, I have Missouri 6 on account, and Georgia 7th and Kentucky 8th. I have Missouri 6 on account of the fact that they just have the nicer upper echelon wins. Like, the win over Florida, obviously, is one of the best wins in the SEC. They won at Rupp. They played a competitive game in Fayetteville. They'll host the Razorbacks on Saturday. I think Mark Mitchell is spectacular. He was a guy that we felt very easily could have been first-team All-SEC. I think there's seven players you could make an argument for on the All-SEC first team, and the bottom line is two guys are going to get snubbed, and it's probably Chinyelu and Mitchell that end up on team two. You could make an argument for Tyler Tanner ending up on team two and Chinyelu being first team. But I love the way that, as a healthy unit, Missouri has shown great upside. So I think the question becomes, like, what do they offer sort of beyond that? And that's kind of where that is. Let's see. Okay. We have Georgia just ahead of Kentucky. The Dawes 21-9, 9-8. I think if they can get out of that 8-9 line, they go to the Sweet 16. I love the way their guards are playing. They've won 4 of 5. Their only loss was at Vanderbilt in an up and down game. They kind of pounded Kentucky a little bit. That I thought was super impressive to go to Rupp and really dominate and lead Kentucky the whole game. They need to beat Miss State in Starkville and avoid kind of a bad loss. But if they can get that one and get another one in Nashville, I really think the Dogs, you know, are Sweet 16 bound. Smurf Billander was our sixth man of the year. And then we have Kentucky rounding out our top eight. the most volatile team in the country. Go to the patreon.com/FloridaBBHour and you'll see Eric Fawcett's film study of them and how, like, it was a weird roster construction. Like, you should lean into your strengths as a head coach. And I think it's tempting sometimes to address your weaknesses, right? And so, like, a Mark Pope weakness pretty consistently in his career has been guarding. And so, like, they went out and spent a lot of money on dudes who can guard first. And that's fine, except that they didn't really fill their roster up with a lot of great shooters. Like, Denzel Aberdeen was always their best shooter, which he's a good shooter. He's a better shooter when there's another lethal shooter around him. Colin Chandler has become that. But, like, those are the two guys that can hurt you from a jump shot standpoint. Otega Owe and Aberdeen are bruisers who can get in the paint and drive and score. But, you know, I think the Cam Williams injury has hurt them. But, again, like, Cam is a defender first who helps you get out in transition. Like, he's not a guy who solves kind of half-court offensive riddles. Jaden Quaintance certainly would have done that because he can get rebounds, but they took Quaintance and paid Quaintance knowing he was coming off an ACL injury. So, again, like, they spent $22 million on a team that was that they anticipated they could scheme around the scoring issues that were obvious, and they haven't been able to do it. And they've been inconsistent. And, like, if they don't beat Florida on Saturday on Denzel Aberdeen's senior day, what a tragedy that is for Denzel to not get a senior day at Florida. He'll get polite applause at Rupp. He's been there 1 year as a one-year rental on a team that fan base doesn't like. And if they lose, like, we don't need to have the hot seat discussions. We can save that for next month. But Kentucky's going to be, like, on the 8-9 line, and I just don't see a scenario where that Kentucky team can beat a one seed. I don't. So I think their postseason is very short-lived. You know, they need this one bad. We'll see if they respond to that need and then can put it together against a Florida team that's kind of head and shoulders better than everyone else. We have the Longhorns at 9 based on upside, like NCAA tournament, inside out, you know, kind of their ability to beat someone good in the NCAA tournament, we trust more than we trust Texas A&M. Mattis Vokiaitis, obviously, we'll get to the free throw line. He's excellent. He's sort of the only big they have, but he's very good. Daylon Swain's an all-league type player. Tremont Mark, Jordan Pope are guards that you know what you're going to get from those two. And they're just excellent players generally. So really good. Good, talented dudes there. Let's see. A&M at 10 for us. Good win over Kentucky. Should be safe now to get into the NCAA tournament in year one under Bucky McMillan. Can't lose at LSU and put that in jeopardy, but feel like they're safe. Auburn at 11 based on upper echelon wins. They have to win the Iron Bowl or they're not going to the NCAA tournament. So they'll need to win in Tuscaloosa this weekend. Oklahoma at 12, too little too late for the Sooners. Really good offense, really good guards. You know, obviously they've won 5 of 7 after the 1-9 start in league play. They have quality wins in that span over Vanderbilt, over Georgia, and over Auburn. I just don't know if there's going to be enough. If they beat Texas in the Moody Center this weekend, I think they go to Nashville with a prayer, but 17-14, even with decent predictive metrics, is probably not going to cut it. It's just hard to ignore the 1-9 start, and the whole season has to matter, and the committee doesn't look at last 10 played. 12, you know, now we kind of get down into the dregs a little bit, to be quite frank. After you get to Oklahoma, you know, where do you go? And for me, just Ole Miss based on how they're playing lately. You know, pushing Vanderbilt, winning at Auburn, I guess 13 for them. Miss State is terrible. Just saw them with my own eyes. Probably the worst Chris Jans team ever. Got them at 14, and then South Carolina 15, just because they're still competing, whereas I think LSU has completely mailed things in. LSU
you know, it's all injury ravaged, whatever, but that's a program that should never go 4 years without an NCAA tournament. So a bon voyage, Matt McMahon, I think is very likely as a longstanding outcome. All right. SEC awards, first team for us. Hauk Acuff, LeBaron Filan, Alex Condon, and Tyler Tanner on our first team. Our second team was Ruben Chinyelu. Getting into this. Sorry, guys. Jacoby Gillespie, Josh Hubbard, Keyshawn Hall, and Daylon Swain. Mark Mitchell, the first man off, we would have had on third team. we ended up scrubbing him and replacing Mitchell with Hall on our second team. And I think you could go either way, sort of last guy on. But that's where we're at on those choices. Chinyelu, the first man out from our first team. Tyler Tanner, the last guy on. Just the way that Tanner contributes to what Vanderbilt's done on both ends. Obviously, Chinyelu does too. Again, like, I think you could make the argument that six guys deserve to be first team all SEC. Seven, really, because of Jacoby Gillespie. And somebody just was going to get left off. Individual awards, Tommy Hauk for us. Darius Acuff Jr. was our freshman of the year. Tommy, our player of the year. The biggest vote, obviously, was for player of the year. You can criticize us all you want, but there's a statistical and data-driven argument for Hauk. Who's a better two-way player than Acuff, has been all year. He's also played better in big games. Per CBB analytics, only Cam Boozer and Yaxel Lindeberg have been more effective against quad one opponents. Hauk averaging 20 points per game, shooting over 60% against quad one opposition. Acuff is not doing either of those things. Hauk outpaces Acuff Jr. in Evan Mias player ratings. He ties him overall in win shares at 5-1. They also played a game. And Acuff, while they didn't guard one another, Acuff was 6-19 and a minus 32. Hauk was the best two-way player on the floor, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, a steal. KenPom MVP. Acuff played his least efficient game ever. In the end, you just got to go Tommy H on that. Smurf Millender, our sixth man of the year. And more about his playmaking ability over Urban Klavzar. And then finally, Todd Golden, our SEC Coach of the Year. We'll get into all SEC defensive team and some of our other stuff on the next show, which will be a full-length pod, but wanted to hop on and do that one on a Friday morning. Enjoy the weekend. Last regular season of college basketball. Go Gators. Keep attacking closeouts.